We are talking about abiding in Christ this morning. And will you go ahead and go to the first slide? And I mentioned earlier about our purpose statement, and if you have your bulletin, you can see our purpose statement. I thought there were two bulletins up here, but they disappeared. Here they are. You can see the purpose statement is on the front of the bulletin each week. And that purpose statement comes from 2 Chronicles 7:14, our memory verse for this month. Go to the next slide for me. 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord is responding to the prayer of Solomon when Solomon, King Solomon of Israel, built a temple for God and said, Lord, we would be honored for your presence to be in this temple. We would be honored for your presence to be among us. Lord, but how can this temple even come close to being a good place for your spirit? Because, Lord, you own the whole universe. And how could you be among us, Lord, because we sin against you? But Lord, if we sin, and if we come back to you and we repent, Lord, will you please hear our prayer? And will you please heal us and heal our land? And will you please dwell among us? This was the prayer of Solomon with the people, all of the Israelites, coming together and, what you say, consecrating the temple. Well, God answered Solomon's prayer. And this was part of his answer. When he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, many years ago, in church council, we sat down and we said, we're at a place where we need to know very clearly, God, what do you have for this particular church? What should we be about? Because there's a lot of things a church can do, a lot of activities a church can be part of, but we weren't sure, Lord, are we going in the wrong directions? We need some more direction. And after months and months of prayer and reading through Scripture together, we came upon this verse and felt that the Lord was using this verse to show us our purpose. And here is our purpose statement. First Baptist Church of Avondale, believers in Christ, seeking God's face, His kingdom, and His righteousness, as we unite in the love of the Father, bow to Him in worship and adoration, abide in Christ, and transform the world through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we've seen God use this purpose statement to guide us in all of what we do. Whenever there's been a new ministry, like when we first felt that God was leading us to do the backpack ministry 5 years ago, how does that fit in to our purpose statement? Well, transform the world through the power of the Holy Spirit. Reach out in ministry to the neighborhood to show them the love of Christ. It also, Fall Fest, how does that work? How does that fit this? Well, it's part of transforming the world, but I'll be honest with you, it's also part of uniting in the love of the Father, because those who come and work Fall Fest will tell you they have such a fantastic time. Being part of the body, fellowshipping together, and doing ministry. This Wednesday night, we have our Thanksgiving meal. That fits in as well. Well, no, you churches, you just have meals together, party. No, don't you understand? That's part of uniting in the love of the Father, enjoying one another. Jesus said, they'll know that you're my disciples by the love you have for one another. So we make sure to do things that give us an opportunity to love on each other. And food does. And nothing like food to break down any barriers and just have a good time together and enjoy the fellowship that God gives to us through His Spirit. So this morning, we've looked the last couple weeks on uniting and bowing. And I want to talk to you about abiding this morning, abiding in Christ. And we get this part of the purpose statement from the part of the verse that says that if my people who are called in my name will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Abiding in Christ has an essence to it in seeking the face of God and humbly repenting of our sin before Him, wanting to remain in Him and His love, and doing it with no regard for ourselves, but every regard for who He is His holiness and His majesty. So one of the most obvious places to go when you want to talk about abiding in Christ or remaining in Him is in John chapter 15, where Jesus Himself is speaking to His disciples and tells them to abide in His love. So will you go with me to John chapter 15 and stand with me as we read the Word of God together? It's on there. The first 17 verses. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I pray that you would show us what it means to truly remain in you, to abide in you, to tarry with you. Lord, to allow you to take up residence in our hearts and in our lives and our minds and our thoughts, to help us to capture every thought and make it obedient to you. Lord, show us what this means. Show us the implications of it in our lives. Show us, Lord, how this will lead to fruit, fruit that will last. I pray this in Christ. Amen. Will you please be seated? Go ahead. So there are four things that I want to look at this morning with you. And my prayer is that, you know, my wife just spoke. This is one of her favorite passages, and she's really looking forward to this sermon, right? So I'm sitting back there, and my son turns to me and goes, wow, what'd you say, Denmark? High expectations, huh? And I'm thinking, oh, shoot, I hope this is a good sermon. Honestly, that's every week. Every week. Lord, I don't know how to bring this message across. I don't know why you would use me to do it. So, Lord, please speak this morning, because there's nothing I can say to you that will bring a change of your life. There's nothing I can say to you that would give you such a vision of God that you would want to give up everything for Him and experience all that He has for you. I mean, the true goal in life has nothing to do with what the world tells us the goal in life is. Listen, we're hitting the Christmas season. They've already started showing Christmas movies, right? They're always talking about the meaning of Christmas and the meaning of life, and they always make it sound like the whole meaning of life is friends and family, isn't it? That and what? And presents. Okay? It all boils down to giving to others and having close friendships and having close family. That seems to be the message that the world allows Christianity to give. They will allow us to preach Christ if it results in people liking each other more and spending more time with their family. That's it. But that is not the meaning of life. The meaning of life is found in Christ Jesus himself. Totally. Everything that is worth living is found in Jesus. Everything about life is him. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This morning, I can't give you that. There is nothing I can say to convince you of the glory of Christ himself. Only he can do that. So I pray this morning that he would. I pray that you came with great expectations. I truly pray that you came with such a high bar that you're expecting God to speak to you this morning. And I am convinced that he will. Not that I will convince you, but that he will show you his glory. Because he alone is sufficient. So this morning, when we talk about abiding in Christ, I want you to, at the very beginning, know that only Christ can show you how to abide in him. And only Christ can show you why you should abide in him. And only Christ could show you the benefit and the glory that comes from abiding in him. But I will, in my most feeble attempts, try to be a guide and pray that he would reveal himself in that way to you this morning. So along with that, we are going to look at four different aspects that I see in this, four different things that stand forth. First of all, we're going to talk about the meaning of abide. What the heck is that word? Go back for a second. Then we're going to look at the connection that Jesus talks about between abiding in him and bearing fruit. Then we're going to talk about what the heck is fruit. And then finally, what does abiding look like? What is the essence of abiding? So first of all, what does abiding even mean? Well, if you take the Greek word that is used here, and you see in the NIV, it doesn't even say the word abide. So where'd we come up with that? Well, if you go to the King James, everywhere in the NIV that says remain, in the King James it says abide. And so for centuries, everybody used this term abide. And more recently in our English language, we say, you know what, if we're going to translate the Bible into the English that people can read, we might want to use words that people will understand a little better. And so the word remain is used instead. It's okay to use that. We like abide because it works with UBAT. I mean, if we did UBRT, it just wouldn't work. So instead of saying remain, we say abide in our purpose statement. Unite, bow, abide, and transform. But the meaning here, and if you want to know the Greek, it's menu, if that helps you at all. Not menu, by the way. Menu. And it means to abide, to continue, to dwell, to endure, to remain, to stand in, to tarry. Tarry is a cool old word. To wait. All these aspects of this meaning, to abide means to find yourself in him. If I say, are you abiding in Christ? I am asking you, do you find yourself in Christ? Have you waited with him? Are you standing in him? Are you remaining in him? Are you spending your time and energy on him? Now let me put it this way. There's an old saying that we like to tell our kids, birds of a feather flock together, right? Why? Because we want, oh, you have got to be kidding me. It turned itself off. Okay, you guys know what to do here, don't you? When it's over, but we got to, Chris, help us out. Chris, our AV guy, was gone, and he came back at the right time. So, birds of a feather flock together, we tell our kids. Why do we tell them that? We tell them that because we want them to know that who you spend time with will affect who you are. Okay? The more you, you know, they go, oh, I'm nothing like my those people. It doesn't matter who I run with. You know, my parents are ridiculous. They're worried about me hanging out with so-and-so, but I'm not like them. Well, yeah, you hang out with them long enough, you will be. That's just the way it works. That's human nature. I defy anybody to be able to hang out with the wrong crowd all the time, 24/7, and not be the wrong crowd. Okay, now, what is the connection between abiding, or we're going to say remaining, because that's what the NIV says, remaining and bearing fruit. Go to the next slide. Oh, yeah, here. In abide. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, that's that word that is translated abide. If you remain in me, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus, in talking about abiding, uses an illustration of being a vine and having the branches come off that would give the fruit. So in ancient times, they would talk about vines, especially grapevines. And so you would see this long grapevine, very thick vine with these branches that come off bearing the fruit. And so what he's saying is you and I are like those branches if we remain in the vine, in him. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. Okay. What is the relationship between this fruit that he's talking about and this abiding? Well, he goes on and he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. If you abide in me, you bear fruit. And it's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to me, my disciples. Go to the next slide. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So Jesus is speaking about this vine with these branches coming off, showing fruit like grapes, and saying, no grapes show up if that branch isn't in the vine. So whatever he's talking about fruit, and we haven't defined it yet, whatever he's talking about, this fruit that we're supposed to show, we can only show if we remain in him. We can't show if football is our abiding. We can't show if social media is our abiding. I don't care how much you say, oh, I'm going to use social media to be a witness to the world. You spend all your time on Facebook, you will be Facebook. You won't be Christ on Facebook. Whatever you spend all your time in, that's what you will reflect to everyone. And he says, you're not going to show any fruit if you're not in me, abiding in me, remaining in me, tarrying with me, standing in me. So what is this meaning behind the fruit? What is he talking about? Go to the next slide then. Go one more. You see, our purpose is to bear fruit. Jesus actually said, I chose and appointed you. You didn't choose me, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. In fact, much fruit, he says at one point. Fruit that will last. So the very first thing we know about this fruit is a couple things. First of all, it's required of us. Okay? He chose us to bear fruit. You, as a believer in Christ, if that's what you call yourself, if the reason that you're here this morning is you find yourself to be a Christian, a believer in Christ, and you want to bring glory to God, you have a duty, you have a command to bear fruit. Okay? There's no ifs, ands, or buts. If you are a disciple of Christ, you will bear fruit. I chose you to go and bear fruit. He didn't say, I chose you to go sit and soak. He didn't say, I chose you to just every once in a while listen to a sermon, every once in a while act like a believer. I chose you to put a happy face on and show everybody what a Christian would look like if that was really in your heart. No, I chose you to go and bear fruit. I chose you. I picked you. And you are mine, and mine bear fruit. Period. Because I'm a vine. And a vine has fruit coming off it. The branches don't decide, well, I don't think I'll bear fruit. Purpose of the vine is so fruit comes out of the branches. Purpose of the branches is for the fruit to be on. So that's our purpose. Okay? And it's connected with remaining in him somehow. So what is this fruit that believers are supposed to show? By remaining in Christ, what kind of fruit is supposed to come out? Come on, next slide. First of all, some of the fruit that will show up in a believer's life is an effective prayer life. None of this, look, here's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen or heard. Listening on the radio, and I hear this, man, I hate bashing on Catholics, but it's so easy. Catholic prayer hour. Catholic prayer hour. So I'm listening. Okay, good. I want prayer. I want to be part of prayer. So listen to Catholic prayer hour. And they said, okay, now we're going to pray for world peace. Okay, so I'm expecting a prayer about world peace. No, it wasn't a prayer about world peace. They said, Lord, we give this next prayer to the peace of the world. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And they get done, and then they said, the next prayer is prayer for our country. Lord, we give this prayer for our country. And they said, Hail Mary. So what the heck is going on? They're not praying for these things. They don't even know what prayer is. Now, I don't know if it's all Catholic prayer errors. I know it was this one on the radio that I heard. What is this? This isn't effective. I don't know if the Lord decides that's doing anything or not. I know that it's not what He's shown us in Scripture. And I know that if I'm a believer in Christ, I should have something more intimate with the Lord than just that. Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given. I know that if I'm in Christ, there should be some type of prayer life that I have that I can specifically ask the Lord in my prayer, Lord,
I don't know what to do about this situation. You are the only one that can do this. I know, Lord, that in your scripture you have told me these things, and I know they apply to my life. Lord, please apply this to my life. Lord, I know these individuals need healing. I remember in your scripture how you healed the leper, how you healed this person and that person. Lord, bring that type of healing for them. Jesus says that if you ask, whatever you ask, in his name, he will answer if you remain in him. Why does my prayer life seem so empty so many times? Why do I feel so often like a husk with nothing inside? Why do I feel like an empty shell trying to figure out words to say when Jesus said, if you remain in me, ask whatever you wish and it will be answered? Why then doesn't it seem that way? Because I'm not abiding in him. Because I'm spending all I have and all I want on everything but him. Because my attention is so distracted from him that all I know of is all the things I'm surrounding myself with. And when it comes to speaking to him on this kind of level, it feels alien. The greatest prayer warriors that we know of had the closest, most intimate walks with their Savior. They spent so much time in the scripture and so much time in prayer, truly, it was as if they were talking to their earthly father when they asked him. It was like talking to their closest friends when they spoke to him. George Mueller, one of the most amazing witnesses of prayer, when you read his autobiography, which is basically just his journal, when he talks every day, his diary, about his prayer life, he's not, it was to himself, it was a diary. He wasn't doing it for others to read. We got to read it later. But these things that he wrote were so intimate about the way he spoke about the Lord. And his prayers were answered. He would keep a record of every prayer and then every time it was answered. It's amazing. He spent so much time with his Lord and Savior. Meaning of fruit is an effective prayer life. Meaning of fruit is that Christ would be displayed to the world, an effective witness. Jesus said, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit." What kind of fruit, Jesus? Well, the fruit showing yourselves to be my disciples. I want to be a witness for Christ. I want other people to see Christ in me. How is that going to happen? Spending time with Christ. You see, the more time I spend with him, the more I spend in his word, the more I spend on my knees in prayer, the more I look like him. The more other people see him in me. If I spend all my time watching the news, getting involved in politics, then I look like a politician. Lord, help us all to not look like a politician. But if I spend all my time with him, every extra moment I can find, first of all, I get excited about him and want to spend more time with him. Second of all, people see that I've been with him. Do you remember how the early disciples, right after, in Acts, after Jesus has been crucified and then risen again and displayed himself to all his disciples, and then he's gone, and the disciples then are telling all the world about him. Do you remember how they get dragged before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish trial body, and the Sanhedrin's telling them, don't you preach anymore in this name of Jesus. Stop it. We're going to put you in jail. We're going to do all sorts of things to you. You better shut up. And Peter and John say, see for yourselves whether we should listen to you or listen to God. And it says, as they left the Sanhedrin, these men looked at each other, confused, and they took note that those men had been with Jesus. The world is confused by people who have been with Jesus.
They look and they see, and Jesus says, you are showing yourself to be my disciples.
Remain in me, and you will bear much fruit, and show yourselves to be my disciples, an effective witness, an effective prayer life, and an effective witness. And then an effective understanding of the Word of God. I've had people tell me before, I just don't understand the Bible, so I'm not going to read it anymore. I've had many people tell me that. I tried to understand it. I just don't get it. And what I will tell you is if you struggle with understanding the Bible, that makes sense because it is hard to understand at first. But, we know from the Scripture, we know from the Apostle Paul that we have the mind of Christ and the Spirit of Christ indwelling in us, and that that mind and Spirit of God will open the Scripture for us. That every believer is a priest of his own or her own, and every believer has the capacity to understand the Word of God. Here's what I would say to you. If you say you can't understand the Bible, I just want to let you know, ask you a question maybe. What did they used to use to teach children to read with in this country? Do you know what book they used to teach children how to read? It was the Bible. For more than a century in this country, they used the Bible, even in public school. Strange as that might sound. They used the Bible. So, and that was the King James, by the way, which I have a very difficult time understanding. Now we have translations that are much easier to understand. In English, that is at a much easier level. And I will tell you that if you struggle through it, listen to this. 1 John 2:27, the Lord gives you understanding. The Apostle John is writing and he says, as for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. He's talking about the Spirit of God remaining in you. You've been anointed with his presence. And you do not need anyone to teach you. Isn't that amazing? You do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. You want to be able to understand the Bible? Spend time in it. And don't give up. And let God give you effective understanding. This is fruit. This is fruit. Effective prayer, effective witness, effective understanding, and effective warfare. Scripture is very clear that there is spiritual warfare going on all the time. Satan is like a lion prowling around looking for a believer to devour, to destroy. And we are facing this all the time, whether we see it or not. And we will only be effective in standing firm against it if we remain in Christ. We can overcome sin and evil in Christ. John, the Apostle John writes, I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. So many times when folks find that life has just destroyed them, it's because they don't have the Word of God to guide them. They don't know it. They don't spend time in it. They don't spend time with Christ, allowing him to reveal himself in a way that they can withstand the temptations that come their way. So, what does it look like then? What is the essence of abiding? Well, in order to abide, we have to obey. We see here in verse 10 of John 15, Jesus says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. You will abide in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Jesus wanted us to see a relationship with him was similar to the relationship he has with the Father. He wanted us to understand that the words that he spoke weren't his own, but the Father speaking through him. The displays of power that he showed was not his own, but the Father working through him. In every sense, he said the obedience that he showed to the Father is why the relationship he had with the Father was on display for everyone. What is abiding? It's spending time with Jesus and obeying him. Obeying him. If you refuse to obey Christ, you are not abiding in him and not displaying fruit. It's that simple. If I refuse, then I'm not an effective witness. I don't have an effective prayer life. It's just plain and simple. Whatever sin that I decide is more important than my Savior allows that to be what's on display for the world. Whatever sin that I decide is more important than my Savior will allow that to be on display. If it's the sin of pride, I won't let go of my pride, then people will know me as a prideful person, not as a follower of Christ. If it's rage that goes out of control, then people will know me as someone filled with rage, not as a follower of Christ. I may tell them I'm a follower of Christ, but they will see the rage instead. Now, does that mean that we're all perfect? No. We struggle with these things. So we say, Lord, I'm not up to this task. You have to do this in me. That's part of abiding. Lord, I am doing everything I know to be obedient to you. This temptation is overcoming me and overcame me, but Lord, I repent. I'm sorry, this is not who I want to be. Please, please don't let go of me. I'm coming back to you, humbly seeking you, wanting to abide in you more and more so that that will be shown. Abiding at its essence is obedience and nourishing ourselves on Christ. Next slide. Jesus said in John 6, and he used a very graphic way to say it, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. How do I feed on him? Exactly what we've been talking about. I spend time in his word. I spend time on my knees in prayer. I spend time humbly before the Savior, showing and letting him know that he's more important than anything else in the world. And I nourish myself on him. If my walk with Christ does not look like a good witness to Christ, it's because I'm not being nourished by him and I have decided to take junk food from elsewhere. You know, you can live off of junk food. You can absolutely live off of junk food. We have this idea sometimes that, oh, if you don't eat good nutrition, you're going to die. No, that's not true. You can live off of junk food, but you won't be healthy. You won't live well. You can live off of Christ. And you will be well. But you could live off of the junk the world offers. You'll be alive, kind of. But spiritually, you won't be well. And finally, the essence of abiding includes loving. Go to the next slide. Starts with loving the believers. You can't say, I just don't want church. You can't say, those people are just hypocrites, I just want to be around them. Because, I mean, you're saying that you're not a hypocrite? Please, we're all hypocrites. Jesus gives us a love for each other. Why? So that we will show that we're his disciples. And he says, this is my command, love each other. Now, we're to love the world, but we're to love each other even more than the world. It's a different type of love. I can love the world without seeking it out. I can love the world because my heart is broken over its sin and I want God to transform it. But the love for my brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, is more than that. It needs to go deeper than that because we share the Holy Spirit. And the love between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is unshakable, unbreakable. Nothing comes between it. And if the Spirit of God lives within us, that's the same love that guides us. So, go to this little saying that we have, you bat. Go on. Keep going. We're united in the love of the Father. We bow in worship and adoration. We abide in Christ, and we transform the world through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the question this morning then would be, are you abiding in Christ? Do you find your nourishment from Him? Is that where you get your essence? Do you walk in obedience to what you know? Now look, we all break commands that we don't know. That's why we have to know the Word better and better. We spend more time in the Word, and when God uses the Word to confront us, we give up whatever sin is being confronted and say, Lord, I didn't realize, I'm sorry. Here, take it. I didn't believe people when they told me that. The Lord is obvious. Take it. Do you abide in Him? Do you love what He loves? His fruit showing up. Ask if you would bow your heads with me, closing our eyes and blocking out distractions. Going before Him in prayer. Lord, we come to You. Pray that You would show us what it means.